Well, folks, we have here a really incredible passage, don't we? We have a man who has some kind of disability, and he's amidst many people who have a disability, blind, lame, and paralyzed, and Jesus interacts with this person. And I suppose it's going to be our prayer tonight that Jesus would interact with us. But this place that had happened, as we see in verse 2, there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades. It was actually lost for centuries, apparently after the city was routed, sort of AD 90. There was a sort of collapse of lots of ruins and buildings over this particular pool, and it was lost. And apparently, I took a wee note that apparently it was only rediscovered in the 1960s, this place. And for a long time, people thought this was sort of a fictional place, but of course, we know different as believers of this word. So this place, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, was lost. Now, the name Bethesda means something, and what it means is house, because Beth always means house, like Bethlehem. It means house, and it meant house of kindness, of mercy, or grace. So think about that for a second. The house of kindness, mercy, and grace was lost. And folks, sometimes I wonder, have we lost that sense of what Jesus wants to do in lives? Have we lost that sense that he's always wanting to work in kindness, in mercy? Have we lost that? And that third word, grace, he's always wanting to pour out grace. I love how it says in John 1, that he came to give us grace over grace. You know, grace is forgiveness. Grace is salvation from sins. But he wants to give us even more grace. And I really do believe that this evening, tuned in on your phones, tablets, laptops, fancy TVs, whatever, that Jesus really does want to pour out his mercy, his grace, and his kindness in a way that has been somewhat lost sometimes. And what we see here is a difficult moment in this story. Now, you may not like the word that the ESV uses here, invalids, which I'm not particularly keen on myself, but what we see is that there's a multitude of disabled people, a multitude of people who are blind, lame, and paralyzed. And there's a multitude of them, and there's a wee bit of a difficult thing in this story in that Jesus doesn't actually just heal all of them. Okay, because there's a multitude of need here, and Jesus doesn't heal every single one. He actually goes up to one particular man and engages with him. But if you struggle with that, and I had to think about this a little bit this week, if you struggle with that, well, here's what I want to say to you, that Jesus might not have walked up to every single one of those people, but he died for every single one. He may not have walked up to every single one, but he died for every single one. And he died for every single person who's out there listening to our service this evening. And when he died, we're told that by his stripes, we are healed. There's healing in the approach of Jesus, and he's approaching you tonight. And we see there that Jesus goes up to this man. He's been in trouble for 38 years. He's been paralyzed. And Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that he had already been there a long time. You can decide, did he know he'd been there a long time because of how he looked, or did he know because he's God? What we can be sure of is that the Bible says the eyes of the Lord see everything. So even if you have an ailment that no other human being on earth knows about, even if you've got an insecurity, an addiction, or a difficulty that nobody else knows about, I can tell you with absolute certainty that Jesus knows. And Jesus knew that he'd been there a very long time. And here's what he says to him. This is really the nub of what I want to speak about this evening. He says this to him: do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Now, some of you maybe don't know this, but myself and Carlton did actually go to a kind of training to be ministers. And there were little pieces of that training where they tried their best to teach us how to be pastoral. And I don't think you would have got very good marks in your pastoral training if you went up to somebody so visibly sick and actually next to a pool in desperate hope that that pool might heal them. And if you went up to them and said, here, do you want to be healed? I think the answer would be pretty self-evident. So not many marks for pastoral sensitivity there. But yet, because it's Jesus, we know that it must be the right approach. And I wonder, why does he ask that question? Do you want to be healed? Well, I've written down a few suggestions. You can decide whether you think they're right or not. I wonder, was there a chance that because this man had been there for 38 years, that he'd stopped pursuing healing? He'd sort of accepted his lot. There's an old commentator that wrote this: could it have been that his heart was more withered than his legs? You know, and we can get to that place. We can get to that place where we've been in pain for so long that actually we've stopped desiring healing. The second idea could be a bit like that famous painting of Holman Hunt, you know, The Light of the World. You remember the famous story? Why on the doorway that Jesus is knocking is there no door handle? And Holman Hunt said that the door handle is on the inside. Jesus was maybe the gentleman here who wasn't going to just pour out his healing on someone who didn't want it, but rather he was asking, do you want to be healed? And I think there's truth in that because, you know, one of the ways that God ministers his healing is when we come to have hands laid on us. It's often our initiative by which God pours out his healing. And Jesus, the gentleman, says, do you want to be healed? Or maybe thirdly, and this is what a famous commentator called William Barclay says, an Eastern beggar often loses a good living by being cured of his disease. I wonder, is there a potential that actually to be healed would have caused this man to lose something of his identity? I wonder, is there a part of us sometimes that doesn't actually want to be healed? There's an amazing book. You could read it in an afternoon. I think I might have suggested it to you before. But it's a book called The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. And it speaks about this kind of day trip to heaven, in a sense. And you can go up and see heaven. It's, of course, a complete metaphor, but you can go up and see heaven and look around, and these angels referred to as ghosts come up to you and chat to you. And it's a fictional story, but there's a lot of interesting points in it. And one particular man comes up to the outskirts of heaven. And he's got a red lizard perched on his shoulder. And this red lizard is desperately trying to discourage the man from enjoying his experience of heaven. He's twitching, he's flicking his tail, he's muttering in the man's ear. He's making the whole thing a thoroughly unpleasant experience. And the man actually turns on his heel and he's ready to go home because he's enjoying it so little. Heaven, can you believe it? And an angel comes up to him and says, are you off so soon? And the man says, yes, I'm off. Thanks for all your hospitality, but it's no good. I have this little chap on my shoulder. And if he'd be quiet, which he won't do, and it won't do, so I'm going to go home. Well, the flaming spirit says to him, would you like me to make him quiet? Of course I would, said the man. Then I will kill him, said the angel, taking a step forward. Look out, you're burning me, keep away, said the man, retreating. Don't you want him to be killed? You didn't say anything about killing him. It's the only way, said the angel, whose burning hands were now very close to the lizard. So shall I kill it or not? You see, the man, although he wanted rid of this lizard, he didn't want the pain of actually having it dealt with. And there is a pain to humbling ourselves and saying, Jesus, we need you to touch and to heal us. So Jesus asked this man, do you want to be healed? And the right answer, I think, probably would have been, yes, please. But instead, the sick man answers him with an excuse. He says, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me. Instead of a yes, he gives an excuse. And C.H. Spurgeon, famous preacher of the past, says this, there was Christ who could heal him, but not a single one of the multitude sought after him. Their eyes were fixed on the water, expecting it to be troubled. They were so taken up with their own chosen way that the true way was neglected. You see, they were all waiting for the waters to stir and to be first into the waters to be healed. But here beside the man was the one who could truly heal him. And yet his eyes weren't on him. Can I encourage you tonight, folks? Take your eyes off everything else and put them on to the great physician, the one who can heal you and who is up beside you at the moment saying, do you want to be healed? And then Jesus says these words, get up, take up your bed and walk. Jesus told the man to do something he couldn't do. Now, being paralyzed for 38 years, I have no doubt that man tried to flex his muscles, tried to summon up some strength to stand up, but it was impossible for him to do it. But at this moment, Jesus challenged the man to believe the impossible. And it's easy to imagine the man's first reaction was, I can't do that. Why even try? But yet he knew just by meeting Jesus that if this man asked me to do it, I should do it. I'll try. Jesus guided this man to a response of faith. Folks, can I encourage you? Trust in Jesus tonight. Trust in him as you bring your situation before him. Trust in him as you bring the other people's that are on your heart situations before him. And allow Jesus to enter in to your problem. You know, folks, there's critics in this story. I didn't read far enough, but you'll read about some Pharisees. And the Pharisees were not at all happy, these religious leaders. They weren't at all happy that this man was carrying around his mat now. Okay? He stood up. He's taken his mat, as Jesus has told him, and he's carrying his mat around. And these religious leaders are not one bit happy. Why? Because he's carrying his mat on the Sabbath. Now, in the ancient world of this time, these rabbis solemnly argued that you were sinning if even there was a needle in your robe and you were carrying around the needle. They said, you know, you shouldn't even wear your artificial teeth because you're carrying them around. Right, we can heal that too. Or even you shouldn't have your wooden leg on the Sabbath day. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? This man has been, had this problem, this disability for 38 years. And now some people are annoyed that Jesus has healed him after 38 years on the Sabbath. Folks, nothing will stop the purposes of God when he wants to act. And can I encourage you, might think, well, I'm in my home today, I'm not in the church today, I'm sitting here with a cup of tea here and all the rest of it. Let me tell you, the Lord Jesus is as powerfully in your front room right now as he is in this church right now. And he can move more powerfully without people like Carlton and Simon and Michael being a few feet away from you as he can with us. He can move, he can act. He can touch and he can heal. Don't limit him. You know, one of the things that Jesus says right at the end of this passage in verse 17, when he's been criticized for healing on the Sabbath, is this. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am also working. Can I tell you, folks, no lockdown and no virus will stop God from working. And he can work for you right now. So, folks, what I'm going to encourage you to do now is respond. So why don't you just find yourself a comfy seat or whatever, right? And just sit down and very simply just put your hands open on your knees with just that posture that you would desire the Lord to move. Just be that person when Jesus asks, do you want to be healed? That you have your hands and your heart open and your yes ready to the great physician because you want him to move. Now in that posture, isolate that thing where you would just love the Lord to bring something of his kingdom and of his healing touch. Isolate that thing, whether for yourself or for another. And hold that in your mind. And why not just whisper, yes, I want healing. Yes, I do want to be healed. Yes, I do want the Lord to move. And I leave you in that posture as Carlton comes and leads us on another step.
We continue to maintain an attitude of prayer and reverence and submission with your hands out. Maybe some of you are on your knees or whatever. And we come to our act of faith, followed by the confession of our sins and the understanding of our forgiveness. So we say together, I believe. I believe and trust in God, my heavenly Father, who made me and all the world. I believe and trust in Jesus Christ, my Savior, who redeemed me and all mankind. I believe and trust in the Holy Spirit, who gives life to me and all the people of God. This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And maintaining that attitude of prayer, we hear the words from 1 John. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, let us confess our sins to God our Father. And we bring our sinfulness to God, looking for the healing of his forgiveness. And I'll give you a moment now just to consider peacefully and reverently what that sinfulness is. What are you bringing before God in this moment, right here and right now? And now, individually and collectively, we confess what that sin is. We say together, Almighty God. Almighty God, we confess that we have sinned against you. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. Take from us all that hinders the work of your healing love, that we may be restored to our divine image through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And having confessed our sinfulness, having laid that sin, that brokenness, that desire for healing at the foot of the cross, we hear his forgiveness for those who have truly repented. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We then pray the prayer that Christ taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. O living Christ, make us conscious now of your healing nearness. Touch our eyes, that we may see you. Open our ears, that we may hear your voice. Enter our hearts, that we may know your love. Overshadow our souls and bodies with your presence, that we may partake of your strength, your love, and your healing life. Amen. And we say that in the knowledge that Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And our healing prayers continue now in a form of intercession, where we're going to pray for body, heart, and mind. And where the response to the refrain, healing Lord, is hear our prayer. Healing Lord, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for the healing of bodies racked by the coronavirus. We give you thanks that the number of deaths and infections is falling. We pray for all those who have physically suffered from this virus and ask that you heal their bodies. We pray for those who have been bereaved by the virus, asking that you bring your healing comfort and peace to those who mourn and are in distress. We pray for those who have become sick or remain sick because of the indirect influence of the virus, all those whose surgeries and treatments have been postponed or cancelled because of the present emergency. Bring healing to them all at this time and grant them patience as they wait for their treatments to begin again. Lord, we pray for the healers, all the nurses, care workers, doctors, cleaners, porters, all who have placed themselves in danger for those seeking medical help in the past months, in the present, and in the days to come. Heal them too of the traumas of what they have seen, heard, and experienced. Healing Lord, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for the healing of our hearts, for the sinful feelings and emotions we harbor there, and for the love that is lacking in our witness for you. We pray you will fill our hearts to bursting with your saving grace and love, that we might love everyone as you love. May we know and believe in our hearts that all lives matter, that you created us in your own image, equal and without favor. Heal us of our self-righteous tendency to judge others and fail to take a hard look at ourselves, our prejudices and feelings. May we all know in our hearts our need of forgiveness for the sins we commit, hide, and the things we do not do. Lord, heal our hearts that they might be clean and obedient to your will, loving our neighbors as ourselves, going the extra mile to help, responding to hate with love, intimidation with consolation and consideration, and at all times knowing in our hearts that you will work all things for the good for those who are in Christ Jesus. Healing, Lord, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, heal and guard our minds from the vagaries of this world, from the corruption of sinful pursuits and injustice, and from the propagation of false religions and doctrine. Heal us from our propensity to yield to the seductive nature of this world and its ideas, helping us to realize that we are to be salt and light in this world, but we are not of this world and must not succumb to its temptations. Lord, forgive us when we do. Lord, heal us of sinful attitudes to others, and by the power of your Spirit, equip our minds for the work you've already planned for us to do. Create and grow in us the mind of Christ, that we might submit all thoughts to him, laying them at the foot of the cross to be washed in his blood. Healing Lord, hear our prayer. O Lord, we thank you this evening for your loving blessing upon us and upon those for whom we have prayed. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Michael's going to come again now and lead us in worship.
Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior are happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Well, a big thank you to Michael for leading us this evening. It's sort of live. You only get one go at it, so that was just fantastic. And thank you all for being with us. Let's just have one final time of prayer before we go. One more time of just drawing nearer to God and knowing that He draws near to us. One more time of just bringing some broken things to Jesus and telling Him that we want to be healed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your very name is that I am the God who heals you. Lord God, we thank you for how it is in your very nature to heal, and that distance, nor sickness, nor anything else can separate us from that love, that you love to heal us. So, Father, I just pray that you would pour out your mercy, you would pour out your grace, you would pour out your kindness on everyone who's listening and into every situation that has been brought before you this evening. And Father, I pray that your love would be felt in every home tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, thanks for joining us. And feel free to stick a wee comment there and tell us whether this has worked all right. And if it's worked all right, we might give it another go next week. But bless you and thank you for joining us. And God bless each and every one of you.